Why start a new party at all? Why change this party? What are the basic beliefs of the Workers' Party and how are they connected with the objectivist philosophy of Ayn Rand? People and groups have consistently advocated laissez-faire capitalism or free enterprise as the matchless production which has, so far, differentiated us from the totalitarian socialist countries and their drabness. But it's only now, after our initial exposure to socialism, that we can recognise that the real potential of Australia can only be achieved by free enterprise and individual initiative. Perhaps the word fair capitalism and free enterprise have been misused and are confused by many with the old feudal system and child labour in the factories. In that case, how about using a phrase that implies the same virtues as laissez-faire, such as a fair field and no favour? Advocates of socialism present the alternative, which is an unfair field and special favours to some at the expense of others. The fair field and no favours of a free market economy presents an ever more valid alternative to the increasing government coercion and intervention described as the bludgeoning of the people by the people. Does socialism breed parasites? And do parasites require a healthy host or victim? Have our heavy-handed politicians and bureaucrats come close to killing off their host? What is this common philosophy of individualism, as opposed to collectivism, that is shared by the Workers' Party, expanding parties in other countries? Objectivist philosophy, with its basic nationality and individualism, more and more people to the morality of socialism and socialism mean, in fact, is free? As clearly stated by themselves, as meaning government and government control means of production. As you are the means of production, doesn't this mean and government control? Following the inaugural function at the Sydney Opera House on January 1975, C featured Workers' Party Chairman John and Party Director Bob Howard on a conference program with hostile audience. Here are a few excerpts which outline attitudes.
When we get to the fundamental, is mentioned or every page of your platform, which obviously take very seriously. Can I just quote it to you? No man or group of men has the use of force, fraud, or coercion, or group of men. I must say what that means. In a sense, to me, it's simply a like. No person has a
system that doesn't exist.
No, but well, like saying no person has the right, except we do make exceptions. Now, does this fundamentally any higher status than that? Does it mean?
Example, what we're trying to say is that to have a policy, you have to have one major state, one major philosophy, and that philosophy I disagree with, and I've not been able to get anyone to fundamentally, is exactly the stated that no one has the right to initiate force, fraud, or coercion against. And it's happening to that major force and coercion against each member's government. And the people who are supposed to defend and protect our rights are instead those who subjugate those rights. So the important question with the philosophy is not morality, but just morality. And here today could argue with the morality.
Could I ask, because if the answer is yes, for a quicker understanding of the philosophy, have you been influenced at all by Ayn Rand's writing?
Anyone in the free market economist or anyone who supports the free market must have made some studies, should have also the other free market economists. What we're suggesting isn't all that, because President Ford's chief economic follows the economy. He's a free market economist. The prize winner in economics last year was another free market. So I think these people, that's Kay, have obviously had a major part to stimulating our thought.
I mean, didn't the state, if you like, and government activity come about, not because of a plot, recognise the injustices of, say, schooling being unavailable to most. And it seems to be this, we want to go back to the last 200 years. So.
I think if we could learn a lot more if we just worry about what we're not, to make clear, is we're not suggesting a regression. We're not suggesting a lack of education. What we're greater education, more intelligent education. What we're suggesting is a state where people have incentive today. There is every incentive for you. There's every incentive not to work. There's every to try. There's every incentive not to, because you know someone else is going to go to that trouble. The government will rip the money off them and give it to you anyway. Society today is not to try. We're suggesting not to get educated, and we're suggesting everything's compulsory. It's forced upon you, and see that the government has that right. I don't know any parents, Cairns, Connor, Crean, etc. Child is the parental responsibility, not government.
But supposing parents, you know, doesn't society have some obligation to insist that they go to school? You know, otherwise they will suffer because of the lack of concern of their parents.
Hypothetical question. For a start, children do have their own rights. The question is, if there's someone down there aren't looking after them, aren't caring, if you care about them, you do something about it. Do something about it. But I don't want someone to do something about it. I don't believe now people voluntarily are helping the child down the road because I know that they will do it. Away from they and get back to us and responsibilities ourselves. And we can't do that. Everything's being done for us.
Thank you. Peter Bone, I'm from South Wales. Look, we care to see people get off to care about what happens to them. And we're on your platform, if I can just quote a bit, that you advocate the eventual all-government welfare program. You don't say that twice. Now, that is the existence in society of innocents, yes, of orphans, of a number of people for whom there is no provision. And don't you recognize the duty of society to take a role, the party, and we're not going to move to a position on welfare and pensions. You reckon we've got enough trouble in Australia and Cairns.
Right.
No time now to start fragmenting.
Well, Peter, I don't think it's socialist forces. I think creating an act is more the problem. I think that when you say a state we mentioned twice, that the welfare should be removed, you've glossed over that. I think one of the things I must share is that if I knew tomorrow, it could be removed indefinitely or could have done our job. What I suggest is it wouldn't be removed to my government. It would be preferable, but what we're suggesting is a gradual removal. Gradual. Not tomorrow, because if you take pensioners, and we've got a million in Australia, what's wrong with that? That if we won government, we would remove those pensions. People have been robbed of getting a small fragment of their money back. Yes, that those pensions in the indefinite future. But certainly the unemployment...
You've avoided the innocent victims who...
No, I didn't mean to. But the question I should have asked, the reason now the innocent victim, but what I'd suggest to you is that in time more for the innocent victims voluntarily, if we weren't being ripped off at the rate of the government, being Labor or Liberal. A country charity wouldn't be greater than government scheme or neither. Well, I think the whole thing, the reason for the formation of this party is we're not suggesting Liberal and Labor Party known to people for what they are. We don't believe what they want or can vote for what they want for a significant choice. What at the very worst, we can educate people politics to think about the role that government plays. That this country could be the rich months without government controls. No inflation. It's all government questions you should be asking instead of the vote catcher. Then we wouldn't have. Then those questions you ask are relevant and unnecessary.
The lady, on the side.
I'm a public servant yourself, the Workers' Party. What do you have?
Well, I think most public servants. The reason we chose the party was to hammer home to people the fact that it's not for the worker, but for the non-worker. They live on handouts and pick-me-downs. What the workforce is a public servant, three for the government. I'm raising three back. Now, therefore, I think the public... I think you must understand, honestly, how many people you work with every day and how many people really earn their money.
Oh, really?
Yes, I do. I think, just philosophy of economics, I'll ask Bob. I think, though, that one thing I would point out to you, from Sydney University, you're a full-time student, I'm just a simple businessman, that the end... The only point I'd make to you is all the economists, if all their homework's been done, so in a country where we have 300,000 unemployed, where we have an inflation rate, then I suggest that maybe there is an alternative through some of the economic philosophy.
Is when people judge economics or free market economics by Adam Smith, that's somewhat similar to judging physics or layer. You know, if you want the full free market, then I suggest you look instead at von Mises and Murray Rothbard, our contemporary. rather than people who start many years ago, right? Now, our basics of free market economics on the grounds of primary practicality, it is primarily on the ground. And we also point that if something is right and correct, it will therefore work. It's because it's wrong.
I think in your economic argument, what's the point?
Practical example instead of these theoretical examples. In Western Australia, mine has been brought up twice already, practical example of what the free market could do. 1960, that the government, state, federal, liberal, labour, government had iron ore in this country. Why? Because of their wisdom. They knew we had enough iron ore for internal uses until 1960. In 1960, the export embargo was what Hancock was then able to announce, discovered not just enough to last us till 1965, 27 million, if you want facts. That's enough to last mankind in every country for as long as it's taken a man to come out of the trees and be here. Why haven't the mines? Why don't we have a separate steel mill in the Pilbara? Why? Government intervention.
To illness through the years and unemployment we suffered in the 30s and is under this system under which we live, boom or a bust. What happens if they're out of work and they can't pay their insurance premiums or annuation? They then become bludgers. And
the problems that you're mentioning there were caused, Alice, at least were caused by intervention. See, the overall problem with saying that we don't have any for anybody who's living on government welfare at the moment. But what we are saying, and I think, is that it is a situation with growth factor. Now, no matter who's concerned about these people, no matter how much these people, in the long, we're not helping them by into a group of dependent. What we want to do over a period of time, many people as possible independent. The only way you're going to do that, incentives within the system, they are directed towards producing dependent people. Today, all the incentives are directed towards producing the consequence, the more people, the greater the tax burden, you have to pay for it somewhere. You know, it's got a growth rate that's high, and the end result of it must be totalitarianism, as far as I can see.
Requirement of government intervention curb the worst abuses of laissez-faire. Mm-hmm. Laissez-faire enterprise led to the and monopoly reduced the freedom of the community.
I haven't been listening, if you could answer.
Whether you like it or not, human nature is that people want incentives. And if you have a system in which you are virtually for succeeding and rewarded, you know, it's not strictly a tendency, then I can't see how you're going to end up with failure. Our monopolies, most today, are not free market monopolies. That is, and it's a very important point that has to be made, and that's free enterprise. We do not see corporate capitalism. That is the type of thing, to an extent here in Australia, but predominantly in America, and that is a system where all the big corporations use the tool to get privileges, monopolies. The government, they've put the pressure historically in. You look at a lot of the left, Gabriel Colco, Arthur Eckert, and have analysis of the historical process. New corporations in the states, particularly, because that's where they have used their position, their influence, used government to get what they want. Now, that right away from. If you can get a monopoly, you can only get it by providing a good service.
Because if you don't, you get the monopoly.
Once you get a monopoly, if you start to abuse it by charging high prices, you make the industry a lucrative one and you attract a Hollywood and you can turn around, you've got half a dozen competitors. The market will curb it.
Industrial policy. No one.
Body Peck. Mr. Singleton, your party deny the right of the word bind to freely combine their brain and their brawn, their muscle. Wouldn't deny them the right to combine,
inject
it into the terms of the contract that they same sort of thing as a social contract. So,
if they did that, they'd be happy to do it. I'd say, well, look, that's very nice of you. We'll hire someone else.
But they'd be anybody else.
You're back to propagating mob. I think this country today is liberal, where 65 power workers can have ransom. And we're not in a position, if those people don't like their conditions and don't like, why don't they go and get another job? If they've accepted that job under a voluntary contract and they still have the right to strike, job being theirs. It wouldn't be their job.
If you are a program, and this is your program, suggest that your make GP number on your governing body to reflect and the authors of this rag, psychiatric center.
That was the question. No, right.
I'm happy to answer it. The point is, I think that it's a frivolous statement. It's very easy to think as frivolous as that, because it's very easy to know this country is in an economic crisis point. A year ago, people laughed. People will, but in a year's time when unemployment is near 500,000, when unemployment hits 30% there and say that, and you don't realise that this government had set down 77 months ago for an average of an extra $27 a week, tax 70% just his income tax. It's important that we start to think. If you don't, the people who run our party, run our country, put a budget, in all honesty, supposedly, to put a $23 million surplus into a $2 billion deficit a month. If you don't think it's important enough for the alternatives we have open to us, then I'll communicate to you what we stand for. It's getting people to think. Agree or disagree with us, we do care if you think, by the fact that you obviously haven't.
Well, it could be safe to say more people think, the more they grow with government today. It stems in part from the economic lie financing with printing press money everyone's savings through inflation. Governments borrow living beyond their incomes. They will print money to repay the original borrower. So it goes on. Interests usually finish up in jail. Governments do it all the time because of office. And to do so, they need voters with handouts of one kind so that people eventually have handouts as their people then see this handout with a huge and ever-growing bureaucracy feeds on the system. This in to the crisis facing Australia. Can democracy continue when production falls, when savings and investment capital be distributed? All this comes about because stepped into and stayed in where it should never have been, its proper and essential role be defined as, firstly, being the defence of Australia, being responsible for the protection of Australians against criminals, and thirdly, responsible for the maintenance of the legal to protect individuals' liberty, property rights of individuals. Individuals have no rights at the moment because everything is confiscated by the government in the fix, death duties, etc. This conflict with government is manifesting itself to the nation's daily papers, the Morning Herald. Quote, there is nothing that could be more undemocratic society than coming to the electorate no longer believe antics of its elected representative taking seriously. And that it is no use getting angry about that. Politicians who produce a mixed economy of the spirit are the hopelessly dishonest, do not escape the same fate, dishonest, and the same penalty. It's really a matter of degree. Discontent with government today is of the Workers' Party, who a group of concerned people need to back their concern with them. In April 1975, I asked Secretary Dr. Duncan Yule of their future plans now that the party has been launched and because of the role they would be playing.
Well, of course, the party is not designed as any other political party. It's a party of its own identity from any other political party Australian scene, in that it's the only party which stands for us and is therefore a socialist enterprise. And today, the other political veer towards socialism, I'm sure that most people, the present plight of the street, its economic plight, is due to many controls and laws and so forth impact liberal governments over the years. The problem is to reverse these trends. Our major effect in the next year will be to the other political parties to realise that they're a long way and that they're doing something in the best interests of Australians. I think that the recent visit Professor Friedman and his appearance at the conference is the one other moment of 1975 in this affair. Because our Monday conference with John Singleton obviously started to make people think that we've had an effect already, but Friedman has reinforced this.
Some of the initial press criticism of him seemed to stem from the fact that you to be advocating too much too soon. I noticed that on the Monday it was quite definitely stated that the suggested changes should be effectively and slowly. Right now on the basic differences between and platform, and then perhaps end the tape with a few thoughts on all party platforms generally.
I think the principle to observe that in the platform we speak of changing things, and so it's impossible to carry everything that's in the platform, but it could take hundreds of years to affect the platform objectives completely. However, going towards goals and objectives, reducing the power of government by grant taxation and so on and so forth. You know, there's only one political party which has a platform other than the Workers' Party, Labour Party. Those platform should recognise is a socialist party and it's socialism. The political parties just a wishy make up jobs, largely becoming sense of need, apparent need to get votes attracted to them. Best known to themselves, they've never had an ideal, brought us to the brink of socialism. And over the years, everything conned with a handful of politicians and bureaucrats how to run our lives, and each one of us now conned into believing that politicians are above reproach, it's honest, conned into believing that to force individuals to do is no, but that everything individuals do for themselves is selfish and bad. Conned monopolies and government-supported monopolies, but that private free enterprise bad. Conned into belief taxation is honourable, but that it is selfish. Conned into government is good, but that individuals succeed. Conned into believing that the cause of inflation and all the problems. Conned into that some people can do good with people's money, especially by force.